we are recording as of Aurora.
Aurora.
So, what did we think of El Libro?
I liked it. I like the way he talks. In the introduction, he says I, and he brings himself into the story a lot more and tries to make it entertaining. I imagine this can be a really dull subject. I like his real-life situations.
But how real-life were they? I mean, they were written in the 1950s.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still applicable to real life, even though it was so long ago. And I think that he really tries to apply statistics, which is, like, a complicated subject, to real life and try to make us feel like statistics exist with us all the time. And, yeah.
The only thing that was weird about it was the fact that it was written so long ago. Because you're reading through it, you're looking at, you know, the whole thing with Yale and...
That was the first part where I was like, all right, this must have been written a long time ago.
Where it was like, ooh, you're making so much money by making 24,000.
Well, by then it made sense.
Yeah.
Because it was like, it makes 21,000 a year. I was like, all right, well, this is written in the 50s. I'm sure that was a lot of money back then.
I like, my favorite line in his introduction is, the crooks already know these tricks, honest men must learn them in
self-defense.
Yeah.
I mean, I read the introduction, I mean, I got that it was, the book was going to be about how to lie with statistics, if you could tell that from the title, but I read it like twice and I was like, this, sure. All right, skipping to the first chapter, because that made zero sense, so amigo.
The introduction?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I get that it was an introduction, and I know what the book is going to be about, but...
I feel like it's hard to gauge what the book's going to be like, because the introduction and the first chapter are leading into it, and the second chapter kind of is starting to talk more about actual statistics. It goes into averages and that kind of stuff. More diagrams.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting how he tried to break down the different kinds of, like, average, like,
yeah.
The mean, the median, and the mode... And, like, I don't know, like, it wasn't the best explanation of when to use all of them. Slightly confusing.
Well, his whole thing with, like, the 5 feet people.
Yeah.
Was, like, weird. Like, that doesn't help at all. I guess if you're explaining math to someone, you can't just assume they know what mean, median, and mode is. And it feels like...
It really feels like he's trying really hard in this book.
Yeah.
And that he's trying to... He just assumes that we're stupid. And we need it to be broken down as far as possible. And
Which
that
isn't
it
necessarily
becomes confusing.
Bad. I mean,
it's not
we
bad.
Have to do that every time we do a benchmark. We have to, like, explain all of our terms.
I understand that. But at the same time, like, I'm not going to assume that whoever's reading my benchmark has no sort of intellect. And I feel like reading this book, the writer thought we were all stupid.
So, I think the main thing that we're going to be looking at this entire book is if it was written now.
Did you learn anything?
A little bit. I think lying with statistics in general is really interesting. And I like the way he talked. I liked the, he, like, tries to joke around a lot since it's kind of, I mean, for most people, it's a boring subject. They're not really into math. And I like that he added that. And I like the pictures. I was a real big fan of the pictures.
I think the pictures were the only reason I got through the book.
Dude, what'd you think of all the people smoking?
I loved the picture on the on page 10 with the graph. And on the downward, or on the upward swing, it's like a guy smiling and smoking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I didn't necessarily learn anything because we've been kind of talking about this for the entire year. But I think the most... that I got from this was just, like, the things that could affect, I mean, like, from the first chapter, like, the biased sample.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, with, the concept that, like, poorer people, or the, compared to, like, their classmates, the ones that don't make as much probably won't respond to the survey. And I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, yeah,
wow,
the stuff about people lying.
Yeah.
Where they either underrate themselves or overrate themselves.
Yeah.
So... I was confused, so I had to find some stuff. But he does talk about a lot about response bias, which is like the tendency for people to over or understate the truth, which is what he starts to try to like flesh out in the first chapter. And the way that these statisticians, right? Those are the people that
statisticians.
Okay, they're called statisticians.
That could have been a word I just made up.
I don't know what they're called. They're one of those two. But the way that they phrase these surveys that they do, and the way that they represent the information, and the fact that one thing can be looked at from multiple different angles, and just depends on who you're talking to and who analyzed it to get whatever answer that is that you're getting, is not always true.
So is there a real, like, is the concept of making a real sample, like, could that ever happen?
Yeah, I said it was impossible.
It seems like it's
like,
impossible.
Well, with people, it's definitely impossible, because it depends on who's asking the questions, which he went into, who and where they're being asked, what, there's just so much stuff that goes into asking people. Whereas he had one with beans, and he said the only way to find out how many red beans or black beans there are in this jar is to take them all and count them all. But instead of doing that, you can just take a sample. And if it's a good sample, then you'll know approximately how much is in the jar. But,
and then I thought, like, what if there's, like, a huge layer of this red bean
right under it?
So then, like, how do we figure out what's a good sample, what's a bad sample, and how do we know that all this data and information and research that we're getting isn't from a bad sample? We trust it so much.
That's a good question, and I have nothing to offer to that.
So we know we can always lie with statistics. How can we actually ever be truthful with it?
I don't think you can always lie, but, I mean, well, you can't always lie, but I think you can't be 100% truthful, just because you probably never get a perfect sample. But I think that you won't be able to, like, tell the 100% truth, which is
I
guess.
And it still depends on the people who are involved in doing the surveys and stuff, because as objective as you try to be, you're still going to bring your own personal whatever into your research, and that's just the way it is.
I think that's my favorite thing about statistics, though, is that there's no, like, perfect answer. There's no real answer as long as you try.
That's annoying,
though. That's my
though.
Least favorite
I
thing about statistics.
Stand
oh, I love
oh
that.
Gosh. Why can't there just be one simple answer? That's
but
what
it's
math
like
has been
English,
forever.
Like everything being open to
that's why I like it, though.
I mean, that's why I like English, but like in math and science, like you've been trained
in
one specific answer.
Exactly.
So this is annoying in the sense that there's never a right answer. It can be like, whoa, it doesn't really matter. So,
page 33. In the second chapter is probably my favorite graph in here. I like how well it explains everything, because the whole chapter is him trying to say, like, okay, you know, the average is 5,700, now the average is 3,000, and him going in and explaining, like, this is how you'd get a higher average, and this is how you'd get a lower average. This is the mode, this is the mean. He, like, explains it really well with this picture and his text.
Yeah.
They've done a statistic research where men live longer if they're married, but women live longer if they're not.
What are you trying to say?
Nobody needs you.
Saying that married men are killers?
You're sucking our life force away.
It's probably all that repressed anger from, like, holding in a plethora of nags.
I'm weirdly excited to read the rest of the book. I feel like the introduction in two chapters wasn't really enough to...
After I finished reading, I, like, flipped through and looked at a bunch of pictures and wondered what these are going to mean when I get there. Like, the baby smoking, I was like, all right. I'm not sure what this is going to mean, but I'm really excited to get there.
I know. I saw the picture on page 15 of the Yale guys crying and singing, and I thought it was funny, and then I read the text, which was like, these men do not often register at class reunions, if only because they cannot afford the trip, and then it's a picture, and it made me giggle.
Look at 108. There's, like, a guy with, like, a mane for facial hair. I want to be that hairy when I get older.
I don't think any of this actually has to do with statistics, guys.
But we're talking about the book. Let's see, just want to stop it.
Yeah.
Okay.